All right, good morning again, everyone. So Mark asked me to say just a little bit about myself, and Jocelyn has talked a bit, but I was lucky enough to serve for 12 years as the executive director of Sisters of the Road. How many people have heard of Sisters or been there? So it's a cafe community in Old Town Chinatown, and where you pay $1.25 for a meal, or you can do barter work for your meal, or use food stamps. First time meal is always free as a welcome to sisters, and families always eat for free and actually skip the line and get served at the table, acknowledging the extra burden or extra support that we need as a community to give to families, just as you do. And so I wanted to just invite you all to come to the cafe sometime, and you can come with me if you want to, and just share in community, because cross-class community is a really important part, and relationship is the base for everything at Sisters. I've also worked at KBOO Community Radio for 3 years, which is an important group to support as well right now, as we are learning. We need to keep learning from our communities and hearing what's real. And I've been on the board for the Western Regional Advocacy Project for about 10 years. And today, I'm going to talk a bit about our Homeless Bill of Rights campaign and criminalization. So I'm changed, just as Jenny said in her in that book, I'm changed by the people that I'm around every day who don't have their basic needs met and their human rights not upheld. And not to romanticize that, because I wish that I didn't know anyone who that was the case for. And I don't believe that that has to be the case. I believe everyone can have what they need. But there's a reason why, very good reasons why, that's our leadership at RAP, and why people who have that experience are the ones to lead the solutions. So I'm going to talk about criminalization. Mark also asked me to be inspiring. It's a little bit hard thing to talk about, but hopefully I will also be inspiring. So the United States, I'm going to look at my clock too. The United States has a long history of using mean-spirited and often brutal laws to keep certain people out of public spaces and consciousness. Jim Crow, sundown towns, Anti-Okie laws, ugly laws targeted various populations based on their racial, economic, social, immigration, or disability status. Unfortunately, I think it's more is growing as well now. Understanding this history and the present provides context for exclusionary and discriminatory laws that specifically target homeless people for what are referred to as quality of life or nuisance crimes. They criminalize sleeping, sitting, loitering, handling, panhandling, and even food sharing. Just like the laws from our past, they deny people their right to exist in local communities. They have their roots in broken windows theory. How many people have heard of broken windows theory? All right, it's supposed to have been found to be not helpful in any way, but it's still used quite a bit. In fact, we did a protest last year at a conference that had the founder of this as the keynote speaker, and there was over 300 people there who are planning our cities, still looking at broken windows theory. The theory states that one poor person in a neighborhood is like a first unrepaired broken window, and if such a window is not immediately fixed or removed, it is a signal that no one cares, and disorder will flourish, and the community will go to hell in a handbasket. But people are not broken windows. It's important to remember some of these laws, so I'm going to state some. The Anti-Okie laws, agricultural workers who migrated to California for work in the 1900s were generally referred to as Okies. They were assumed to be from Oklahoma, and they moved to California from many states as well. The term became derogatory when massive numbers of people migrated just to find work and homes. Jim Crow laws, which we're all familiar with, although it's important to keep studying those as well. Ugly laws from the 1860s to 1970s, several American cities had laws that made it illegal for people with unsightly or disgusting disabilities to appear in public. Some of these laws were called unsightly beggar ordinances. The first ordinance was in San Francisco in 1867. The most commonly cited law was in Chicago. Chicago Municipal Code stated, "No person who is diseased, maimed, mutilated, or any way deformed so as to be an unsightly or disgusting object or improper person to be allowed in or on the public ways or other public places in this city shall therein or therein expose himself public view under a penalty of not less than $1 nor more than $50 for each offense. Operation Wetback, sundown towns did not allow people who were considered minorities to remain in the town after the sun set. Again, today, broken window laws, a direct outcome of the theory is the introduction of legislation to criminalize the presence of homeless people in public. Current quality of life laws also take a certain population into account, homeless people. Using these laws, people are criminalized for simply walking, standing, sleeping, and other regular human behaviors. In other words, they are penalized and harassed simply because of who they are. Just as with Jim Crow, ugly laws, anti-okie laws, how people look in their existence is the basis for charging them with criminal behavior. In 2005, social justice organizations from across the Western United States came together and founded RAP, or Western Regional Advocacy Project, but we call it RAP. We came together with the goal to expose and eliminate the root causes of civil and human rights abuses of people experiencing homelessness and poverty and in our communities, and to advocate for restoring federal funding for affordable housing. And again, the RAP core members in Portland are Street Roots, Sisters of the Road, and Right to Survive, which is the founding organization of the Right to Dream Rest Area, which I am happy to talk more about any of those. RAP works with street-level organizers and homeless people to develop our work plans, strategies, and messaging. We learn from each other, enhance each other's organizing, and amplify the voices of homeless people, connecting our struggles, which were previously confined to each of our communities. By providing a place for our members to learn about events in communities other than our own, each struggle becomes a part of a larger movement so that we can work for civil rights for poor and homeless people on both a deeper and a broader basis. Of course, this doesn't replace the relationships and focus on working from our communities right here with our own good faith people, such as yourselves and others. The broken windows policing and the advent of business improvement districts, which are known as BIDs, who have led the growth of many of the laws criminalizing homeless people, and we find them leading these laws across the country in rural and urban areas. Broken windows and BIDs have led to increased racism, classism, and marginalization of poor people. Whether it's stop and frisk policies, shooting unarmed black teenagers, or the criminalization of homeless people for their mere existence, there are tangible connections among each of our struggles, and our work on homelessness and poverty always seeks to make connections with these issues to build a collective movement together that contributes to a more just and humane society. The driving force of all of our work, including our Homeless Bill of Rights campaign, is our outreach to homeless and poor people, documenting their experiences and asking them what's important to them. In surveying more than 1,500 people in 5 states and 12 cities about civil rights violations by local police and private security, the findings are eerily similar everywhere. The main illegal offenses were sleeping, 82%, sitting or lying down, 77%, and loitering or hanging out, 75%. This means that 82% of the people we talked to had been cited or asked to stop when they were sleeping, or sitting, 77% for sitting, and 75% for hanging out. RAP engages in intensive research on the nature and expansion of these laws that have become the go-to solution to the epidemic of homelessness. This research enhances our organizing efforts. RAP supported the ACLU of Oregon this year in writing the report titled Decriminalizing Homelessness, Why the Right to Rest Legislation is the High Road of Oregon. As we knew from our research, the ACLU report shows that basic acts of survival are being criminalized across our state. The research for the report found that Oregon's most populous cities and counties have 224 laws that criminalize necessary life-sustaining activities like sitting, lying, resting, or eating in public. The report states when someone has nowhere else to do these things, fines, fees, and a criminal record further entrenches them in homelessness. Oregonians living on the street are forced to make impossible choices to go about their daily lives. And we find the same in all the other cities and states that we're working in. In fact, California has an average of 10 laws per city or municipality. And that was found, that was a report written by RAP and the University of California, Berkeley Law School. Through further street outreach and hundreds of interviews, homeless people across the country, bless you, RAP began to document their ideas, our ideas, or people's ideas, for solutions to these violent laws, and we wrote legislation, the Right to Rest Act, and began organizing from our state bases around the Homeless Bill of Rights. In 2017, we have been continuing these statewide campaigns, as well as running the Right to Rest Act in each of the three states. Sometimes we call ourselves the ALEC of the left. I don't know if you know who ALEC is. If you don't, you should, because they influence our state and our country tremendously. And so they create laws based on their interests, and we're creating laws based on what people are telling us are their interests. The Right to Rest Act demands the right to move freely, rest, sleep, pray, and be protected in public spaces without discrimination. The right to occupy a legally parked vehicle. When you don't have a home, being able to be in a car can be safer than just being outside. The right to serve food and eat in public, which has not been criminalized in Oregon, but is being criminalized across the country, unbelievably so. The right to use a necessity defense, which means when you're being charged with crimes of necessity, and they're, for example, sleeping and the shelters are full, that needs to be taken into consideration, that the situation that you are in. We have found also when we have legal clinics, a lot of RAP members have legal clinics, when there's legal support against these fines, there's an 80% reversal rate in the courts for these fines. So simply having support and someone helping you shows the courts that this is unjust and has a huge reversal rate. These bills, the Right to Rest Act, are fought for by RAP's core, people experiencing homelessness and organizing for housing and human rights. And as I stated earlier, but it's important to repeat, we put the struggle within the context of current as well as historic criminalization. We fight from an intersectional perspective and know that classism, racism, sexism, and ableism work hand in hand to instigate the violence we see against all of our communities. And it was, as with all RAP campaigns, the Homeless Bill of Rights campaign brings together grassroots social justice groups from across the Western United States to build our strength and power together while organizing from the base and strengths of each of our communities. We continue to research and uncover a federal massive divestment in affordable housing that is the major cause for the epidemic of homelessness, and to fight not only for housing, but a government that reflects all of our interests and lives. And I brought some of the artwork that we use that documents, that takes some of the statistics we find and puts it into artwork. This one over here with a tower up at the top is 1979 housing HUD budget. I don't remember the exact numbers. And then the massive number down is the massive cuts in the 80s to affordable housing. And then the people rising up, this is an Art Hazelwood piece, one of our artists. The people rising up are the incredible, of course, massive increase in homelessness after that. Before 1979, there was not even a shelter system in the United States. So when you ask why is there an epidemic of homelessness, the number one reason is because we have divested in providing affordable housing for our people. In addition to street outreach research, the Right to Rest Act, and fighting for this bill in Salem, Denver, and Sacramento, we also engage in community dialogues across the state. We've been to Madras, Roseburg, Bend, Eugene, many other places, and people join us, but also hear about criminalization in their cities and understand that they're not isolated and being criminalized. We also engage in public education efforts through media, and create powerful and amazing artwork that supports our messaging about human rights and homelessness. RAP is a national leader in the fight against criminalization of people simply because they are homeless or poor, and our extensive street outreach and research inform other homeless Bill of Rights struggles across the country, which are growing. The first homeless Bill of Rights was passed in Rhode Island. It did not have anti-criminalization in it. So what we do helps to inform and make sure that homeless Bill of Rights include ending criminalization until when people do not have housing. Finally, I wanted to mention we are a member of the New Poor People's Campaign out of the Cairo Center, where we're on the steering committee for Truth Commissions on the right to not live in poverty. We know that this right is not only possible, but it is being fought for on thousands of fronts today. This campaign is taking off from where Dr. King left off and organizing poor people across the country to be the unsettling force in our public discourse that King referred to. It is important to RAP to continue our work in a broader struggle, and we're happy to have found our national campaign home. The Homeless Bill of Rights campaign has 179 organizational endorsements from a diverse array of groups. We hope that you will become one of these supporters, and we look forward to continuing our struggle with love and hope together. Thank you.